This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
When you don't want to wake up, everything is effed, everything sucks.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those days. We had gremlins attacking the board back there. Michael was fighting for his life to try to get the show on air. Good job.
Running around, computer
wars. You did it. I mean, if I'm giving you a grade for that, that's an F plus. And that's passing on the whole show.
So, all right, well, I'll go get Brian. Brian!
Oh, yeah, please. Please do. Be nice to have the varsity in once in a while. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Michael, I did stay up. I mean, I stayed up and watched this Avalanche game. It's very difficult to do that, especially when you get done with the second period and it's like, oh, we got to go through this another intermission here. But I was diving into some hockey last night, and that was fun. Marty Natchez is going to play himself into a significant contract, isn't he? I was kind of hoping they'd finish this off last night and he'd get the hat trick. But that was a fun game to watch. One game in, but they look good. And Wedgwood looked great. A lot of penalties in this game. And I'm going to say something. I'm going to declare something on the whole show today, Michael. This has been a take on the whole show for years. And it's a take that has dissolved in my mind. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
I mean, I've been passionate about this take.
Edge of my seat.
Are you really, or are you just...
I'm actually about to fall off. Hang on. Let me read.
I can't tell if you're being weird or... I don't mind fighting in hockey anymore. It used to bother me. I used to think it... Now, there are still times in the game where I'm like, come on, I just want to get back to the game. I just want to keep rolling. I don't want to do this whole fight thing, but... Last night felt like a good time to have a bunch of it.
Well,
you don't see it in the playoffs like that. But last night, it felt like there was a fight, especially in that third period. Felt like there was a fight that was going to break out like every 10, 20 seconds or so.
Yeah, it's because the Kings were upset about a hit, and, well, too bad.
And that hit was...
There were a lot of hits.
Dude, Josh Manson's hit, though...
He's a man.
Was absolutely monster. That hit just, I mean, it was 0-0 at that time. And that felt like that was kind of the spark that's what ignited this team going into the second period, scoring three goals. And so the fighting thing is not that big of a deal to me when it seems kind of necessary. Like, if that would have been a Kings dude that blows up an Avs guy, you want to see somebody come back and kind of defend. I've always maintained this, like, I just don't like taking away from the action. I know you're all about bench-clearing brawls. You want to see it in baseball, too.
That's because baseball's... Ugh.
I'm also like, it's 8:30 at night. Well, it's 8:50 when this thing gets going, and then it's 11:30 when it finally stops. I'm also kind of that's where I kind of don't like the fighting because I don't want to extend the game anymore. I kind of just want to get going here, but stuck with it. And Josh Manson got this thing going. This is a deep, deep team. And I love seeing that beard out there from Brent Burns. That's a lot of fun. Nathan MacKinnon, Michael. You know what? I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly from last night. The good, the bad, the ugly presented by... FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. Nathan MacKinnon, with his first point of the night, made him the new career leader since the franchise moved to Denver, pushing him past Joe Sakic. And then he went ahead and had another assist in that game. Nathan MacKinnon was on a mission. He wanted to score badly, but he had two assists on the night. Derbs was right about taking that, taking that shots prop bet or whatever. He would have been correct on that, I believe. But MacKinnon looks in great form. Cale Makar made some phenomenal plays. Did you see his little fake slap shot? And then he kind of swivels around, makes a play. That was a fun game. The Kings are a tough, gritty, hard-nosed team, but everything that I'm watching in the intermissions and such, like I was diving all in last night, guys. I was like, yeah, the Kings are good. They just can't score a lot consistently. And that was the problem for them, but certainly a regular season dog every year, and that was a battle. So the Avs get it done, home opener. Tomorrow, the bad is just, now I'm tired, Mike. I'm getting older. I wake up, and I feel like I just had, like, 12 beers because I stayed up too late. Because I get up really early. So, that was rough. It's been a long day already, but worth it. I don't like a lot of these 8:30 games in the middle of the week on a Tuesday night. That's tough. Friday night, you start it whenever. I'll be there. But Tuesday night's rough. But it was a win. You hate to stay up that late and watch a loss. The Avs got it done.
Friday night's for high school football.
No. How many high school football games do you go to?
I'm here producing.
I know. But
really
central. If you weren't producing Friday night, you would be at a high school football game? Is that right?
Outside. You want me to go outside?
Right. So that's why I think your argument is weak. Because you're not going to go to a high school football game. So saying that high school Friday night's for high school football. Yes, it's for it, but not only for it. You can have anything. So I like a late Friday night game, which is coming up with CSU and Fresno State coming this Friday night. Another big game. Not big in the sense of what could it do for your season, but big in the sense of how much longer will that extend Jay Norvell's future with the Colorado State Rams. I'm very curious. The ugly for me is kind of the situation going on with the Browns. Yesterday was like, oh, they traded Joe Flacco. Stefanski is not ready to announce who is going to be quarterback 2 for the Browns. I mean, they have Bailey Zappi on the practice squad right now. I just don't know if Stefanski is into the whole Shedeur Sanders thing. And I don't think he's wrong to say, you know what, we're not going to go that route because it's going to be the Tebow route. That would be the Tebow thing. And a rookie, Dylan Gabriel, do you want to put that extra pressure on a rookie? That's extra pressure that you'd put on a rookie quarterback. And I think that would be silly to do that. So that's ugly. Why in the hell did Cleveland draft Shedeur Sanders, Mike? It makes zero sense. And look what it's led to. And I'm not saying that that's led to Joe Flacco getting traded. Joe Flacco wasn't really doing much and all that. But there's been a lot of drama surrounding the Browns outside of the drama they already have. There's already a lot of drama around Cleveland. And what do? We drafted our quarterback of the future in the third round, Dylan Gabriel. Oh, Shedeur Sanders is still there in the fifth. Let's go get him. The most popular fifth round. I mean, is Shedeur Sanders at this point the most popular fifth rounder projection that we've ever seen? Not
probably
to say after the fact, but yeah. And you invited that in. And now you're starting your, and you already did, but you're starting, you're going with your rookie quarterback. Like, you've paved the way now. There's no going back to Joe Flacco. If Shedeur is number 2, as soon as Dylan Gabriel struggles, which he will, he's a rookie, you're going to get a large fan base wanting Shedeur Sanders to be the starting quarterback. Now Stefanski's saying this when asked about it. All roster types of things, I always have to be mindful of our players and our players' development. And I want to make sure that I'm always doing what's best for our players and, of course, our team. But with young players, I'm always thinking about last week, making the change to Dylan. You have to think long and hard about that because these are young players that you're so invested in their development. So I'll let the decision play out and make a decision later. I think he's flat out annoyed of the whole thing. You know who else was annoyed of the whole thing? I think John Fox and John Elway were annoyed of the whole thing with Tim Tebow. That was a situation where the crowd was just flat out invested in Tim Tebow. You had, after they lost that Chargers game years ago, 2011 maybe, right? You lost, but Tebow came in at the half, and they like kind of made it fun, and it was exciting. They still lost. And the crowd, a lot of people are sticking around in the stands chanting, Tebow, Tebow, Tebow. And from that point on, you know, Elway probably succumbed to the wishes of his fan base. And I don't know that he was exactly like excited about that, but also they probably saw the writing on the wall that it's not going to work with Kyle Orton. This isn't going to be the plan, so let's go ahead and shift completely away from that, and we'll probably tank, and we'll go draft a quarterback in the first round. Maybe. But Tim Tebow had other plans. But that was a headache. That had to be a headache. I remember, Michael, we were doing the Mitch Unrein show that year. Do you remember that? That was before I had a sports talk show. And we just did the 1 hour on Monday nights, or whenever that was, Mitch Unrein, Eaton grad, went to Wyoming and played for the Broncos for a spell. Actually, as a D-tackle, caught a touchdown pass from Peyton Manning. Little known fact there for you. And I remember Mitch in here, and we talked about it, not necessarily on the air, and I won't give into all the details there. But I remember Mitch would say, yeah, it was frustrating that season because our defense would, and Mitch was a significant part of that defense. And he would talk about how our defense would hold teams to this low amount. They'd keep us in it. Our offense couldn't do anything until like the final 4 minutes of the game. And then it was Tebow that was the hero. And then the cameras and all the TV crews were just surrounding Tebow's locker. And there's the defense just absolutely soaking wet with sweat and exhausted, watching, knowing that they saved the game. They kept the game close enough for Tebow to work that magic. And they didn't get any play. That was a distraction. And it wasn't necessarily on Tim Tebow. Like, that guy's an awesome human being, and he was an awesome human being then.
You know, if I had gone down to practice like I did in 2005, they would have heard it from me. It would have been like, hey, guys, defense, you guys are amazing. You guys are the reason why you're winning.
I 100% believe that you would have said that. Given your past, that you didn't ask any questions at the one training camp opportunity you had.
Well, I mean, you and I agreed that year about
that year
Tebow.
We were both upset
about the draft.
That year
we were both upset that he started. We were both going like, but look at how great our defense is. I went to the Jets game that year. The defense scored as many points as Tim Tebow did.
That year was strange for Broncos fans because you're rooting for the Broncos, but with every win, the legend of Tim Tebow grew, and it was annoying to just Broncos fans. Like, there were Tebow fans and there were Bronco fans. And it was really the fan base that really got under the skin of a lot of Broncos fans that year, the Tebow fan base. And so this in Cleveland is a very similar situation, although Shedeur Sanders is not Tim Tebow. You're not getting the aw shucks, I just want to play. Although, somebody caught up with Shedeur Sanders yesterday. It was a news outlet in Cleveland, and they found the interview was at a car dealership. It was not in the locker room. It was not on the facility. It was at a car dealership. So two things could have happened. News group found out where he was. He was probably doing something to do with an endorsement situation. News group found where he was, followed him. Shedeur did a great interview on it, talking about Joe Flacco and how he really leaned on him, and it was really great to get to know him, and he's going to miss his wisdom, and he's going to take a lot of what Flacco taught him. It was the perfect interview for Shedeur Sanders, but it always comes with something weird. Why was it at a car dealership? Did Shedeur basically say, yeah, I'll do an interview with you guys, but I got to promote my... I got to promote my endorsement car dealership here.
Maybe he's preparing for his next venture because he's not going to be an NFL quarterback for long.
We'll see. I don't know about that. We'll see. And I'm not knocking it. Good for you. You have people that want to put microphones in your face, make them come to you, and you'll give them exactly what they want. And he did. He did the coach speak thing. He did the quarterback speak thing. And I think he needs to do that now. I like listening to him, though. He's entertaining. But they followed him to a car dealership. Whether they went there because he asked them to or they found him, he is a third-string quarterback, at least as we speak today. It is a fascinating study going on there in Cleveland, and I don't know why they went that route. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. On the Avs game last night, you look at what Chris McFarland did and Joe Sakic to assemble this team from last year when they made a lot of trades before the trade deadline. You know, picking up guys like Natchez and on the goalie side of things, too. I mean, Wedgwood was phenomenal last night. Absolutely phenomenal.
I'd give Wedgwood one of the stars. Probably third star. Well, maybe second star. I don't know. He was...
He did not get a
star. They let him... Four penalties in a row.
How did he not have a star? I mean, Marty got one. Nathan McKinnon got the two. And then Lehkonen got the three. All three were pretty damn good, though. But yeah, I probably would have said... I don't know. Who you taking out of that list, then? Lehkonen had a goal and an assist. McKinnon had two assists. And Marty was a goal away from a hat trick. Marty was good. Those were great shots, too. Who you taking off that list, then, from last night to give Wedgwood a star or two or three?
Any of them. Look, I'm a big fan of the goalie position.
Who are you taking off, though? I'm asking. What's least impressive? Two goals from Marty, two assists from McKinnon, who also the first assist passed up Joe Sakic, or Lehkonen?
I mean, they're all pretty impressive. I'd remove McKinnon.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, I feel like Polly in The Sopranos. Oh, I don't think so.
Look, I'm just a big fan of the goalie position.
I don't think the Kings.
And he has.
Yeah,
rejuvenated that position in the state of Colorado.
We have
not had a goalie like that for the Avalanche.
He's been good.
Maybe a little bit of an overreaction on my part.
Maybe, because I'll say this, and I'm not Mr. Hockey Guy here, but I did stay up and watch every minute of the game. And I'm talking intermissions, and a lot of what they were talking about at the breaks were the Kings' biggest struggle last year was, hey, they're a good, hard-nosed, gritty defensive team, but they're winning games 1-0, 2-1. They're not scoring goals in bunches, so that's not exactly... I mean, the question they had at the second intermission was, are the Kings going to get a goal? And they're like, I don't know if they'll even get one here. And then that was the big concern about the Kings going forward. But first mission accomplished for the Avalanche. 81 more to go.
Do you see that stat where the Kings were so good at home but just terrible on the road? They were a little below 500 on the road, so I don't want to say terrible, but they were really good at home. Yeah. Let's see if they're still good at home. Avs dominated them.
They did. I was a little concerned when they kept getting on the PK or on the power play and they weren't getting a lot of shots off. I think there were two or three in a row where they only had one shot each on each of those. And that started picking up. But then things got nasty in the third period, and we had a lot of penalty minutes there. It's a fun game, though.
I mean, that second penalty I can understand when you're so tired. You're just tired. You got to hook. You got to hook the guy who's got the puck. I understand. I'm not going to, complain about it. Like, he just passed you. He's got the puck. I'm going to hook him, too.
Mysterio apparently doesn't like the Avs talk. It's the first game. Lots of things can change. Boring.
I kind of agree.
What?
I like being excited, damn it.
What are we talking about here? Do you want me to say, you want me to ignore the game? What was big last night? What else was going on last night? I mean, that was a fun game. And you're 1-0. I mean, That's exciting. We'll probably do the same thing when the Nuggets play. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I mean, this team looks, obviously they have the hot, nasty speed that I'm after. Elite offensive ability. But you saw really good goaltending and just a solid defense overall. This was a lot of fun. This is a team, and you know why this is significant, Mysterio? Because this is a team that was in a deep hole at the beginning of last season. I tweeted at one point, a month or so in, like, this team's not good. And then they started making moves, and those moves start happening. And those moves started really helping out. This team started 0-4 last year, Michael. They started out the gates.
With terrible injuries.
Just, yeah, bad injuries. Their goalies were Georgie and Onanen. And that was rough.
Georgie and Onanen and Offanen.
They were around a 500 or so team going into, like, early December, mid-December. And then they started pulling away when they got Blackwood and Wedgwood. They started making moves, and they started improving upon that record. So I think a hot start for this team is excellent. So far, 1-0. 26 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by Chevron. Coming up today, we got top stories of the day. Cody Tucker's going to join us from 7220sports.com. One side of that ball is pretty boring, if you want to talk about boring. The offensive side for the Cowboys. We have, let's see. I want to play some of Jay Norvell's press conference from yesterday, too. If we have that still, Michael. Good job. And then Sean Keeler will join me. He's going to talk about Julian Lewis might not be the obvious answer there in Boulder. And he has some reasons why, at least for this season. We'll talk to Sean about that. Maybe an update on Coach Prime. All that and more. Broncos, Jets. What are the chances the Jets can really bring us back down to life? And the reason you just held up zero is what scares me. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Join Kyle Johnson and Bruce Dick for the high school football game of the week. Fridays on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado, there's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Minutes after 11 o'clock. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. I want to shout out to Lemons Heating and Cooling. You know, we're the next couple of days will be kind of nice, and then I think we're going to get back to the fall temperatures. But I woke up this morning and it was cool in the house. It was a little chilly. Maybe the heater is acting up and giving you fits that you kind of put off last season, and now you got to get something looked at if you're in that mode. Talk to Lemons Heating and Cooling. HVAC contractor here in Greeley. They service a lot of parts of Northern Colorado, so check them out, lemonsheatingandcooling.com, or you can call 970-567-0798. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, Jay Norvell yesterday spoke to media. We talked a little bit about that yesterday with Mike Brohard, csurams.com. Here's the opening of the press conference. We'll let it roll for a bit, but let's play some back of what Jay had to say as far as his thoughts on where they are, why they are, who they are, when they are.
Appreciate everybody being here. I know it's a little different schedule this week, playing on Friday. A couple things over the weekend, a couple takeaways from where we're at. I sat down with our trainer yesterday, and we got currently got 14 guys that can't practice. Four of those are in the defensive line, which is a real critical position for us. We were thin there to start the year. And we got 40 linemen that can't, that are out for the season. You know, we lost Jacob Ellis last week. We got Jackson Warren, our tight end, and Tanner Morley on offense, which are really key players. And then three of our six captains are out. And so for us as a coaching staff, we got to be realistic about where we're at as a roster right now. You know, I thought this last game for the first time, you know, we had some defensive kids revert a little bit in the second half to some old habits. And that was discouraging. I wanted to see those guys continue to fight, and we got pushed around a little bit in the second half. And so we've got to be mindful of that, how we can handle the running game. You know, we got a bunch of young guys playing, Andrew Lorich and Jack Moran, Keegan Shank, good young players, but they're young. Not the mature bodies that McKende and those guys were. You know, we, for the second game, we really didn't get any sacks or turnovers, and that's something that we've got to continue to work to do. You know, offensively, we ran the ball effectively. I thought Jackson Brousseau did a lot of good things in the game. He's throwing for 62%. Darius came in and did some good things, which I was happy to see. You know, we're making some strides to be more efficient. You know, I think one of the things we're doing is we're trying to make the offense reflect more what Jackson can do. And we're very mindful of putting some schemes in place that can help our receivers also have success. And so the things we're doing is you know, reflecting the players that we have playing right now.
All right. What do you think? I mean, it kind of sounds a little bit like excuse making.
Yeah, and some of those excuses are legitimate.
But everybody has it.
Everybody, some have it worse than others.
Some have it worse than others. I get that, but all the guys he's mentioning, did they play against UNC? Most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Did they play against Washington? Did they play against, what was next, UTSA? And now suddenly it's an injury thing. Oh, you know, we don't have the players we thought we were going to have.
If this was towards the end of the season, and I've defended the Broncos 5 out of the last 8 years, you know, it's tough to say how bad the coach is when you have half the roster because they were so badly injured. But if you're bad at the beginning of the season,
you're bad
and
early,
you're healthy.
You're bad early. You can't use excuses. If you were 4-0 and then suddenly you got waxed by San Diego State, well, we were without Morley. He's out for the season. We were without Jackson Warren. We were without two of our big studs on the line.
If that had all happened in the first game.
Then you would still say, okay, I understand. I get that. That's tough to do. The Broncos are without Ben Powers coming up for a while now. And that's going to probably be a legitimate excuse as to why maybe you see a step back on the rushing side. You hope it's not the end-all be-all because I don't think Broncos fans want to hear that as an excuse. One man does not make a team. But I get it. It is what it is. You have injuries. If the UNC Bears would have had healthy quarterbacks last year, would they have won more than one game? I don't know. I think so, but I don't know. They went through like 4 or 5 guys last season. You can, it is legitimate. It's not like he's in the wrong to point that out. But what's tough for fans to hear on that is, what was the excuse against, well, Washington's Washington. What was the excuse against the UNC game coming down to a controversial call? What was the excuse against UTSA when you couldn't do anything until late when you put Jackson Brousseau in? What was the excuse against Washington State, who had been struggling and they beat you badly? What was the excuse against San Diego State, who's not considered a world beater right now? Well, that was the excuse. the program right now is floundering, and they're trying to make sense of this thing. Jay Norvell's trying to save a job, and I'm sure that appeal has been made to John Weber, and I don't blame him for that. I would be doing the same thing. I don't know if I'd be doing it in the press conferences, but that was kind of how he opened it up, and that is the company line today is, well, injuries have just depleted this team, and a lot of guys we weren't ready to have play are out and are asked to do a lot more than we were expecting them to do this year. It's all true. But you weren't a good team before you started to have a myriad of injuries decorate your roster. And that's where I think I have trouble with this. It's not a good football team right now.
Football team's floundering and he's fishing for excuses. And you can't do that. You got to say, hey, a lot of this is my fault. And then you've got to stop doing the things that you were doing before. How many times were we complaining about, You're making this stupid play call. It was right of him to, change the play caller, but not much has changed.
There's a lot of questionable decisions that have just started to stack up, and I'm not even talking about this season. I'm talking about the last several seasons where it's just stacked up. Should Torrey Horton have played in that game against San Jose State? Should he played at all? In the CU game, did that impact his injury to where it was worse? I'm not going to sit here and blame a guy for playing his best player when his best player wants to play, but that was a weird decision. Maybe a little too early coming back for Horton. Moving on from Freddie Banks, which I think I have some Rams fans that agree with me, some disagree. And I don't necessarily disagree with moving on from Freddie Banks if the relationship was bad. If you can't get along with somebody, then it's just not going to work. And I don't think Freddie Banks was good enough to put up with his junk, if there was junk. The guy blocked me on social media, so I'm not defending. I've never said anything bad about Freddie Banks before, but he blocked me. Or he did at one point. Thanks for the unblock, probably because I said something nice. But the Clay Millen thing, the BFN thing, the 600,000 thing, the K-State thing, there's just been a lot of these little things that when you sit here today at 1-4, 0-1 in conference play, they start to stack up, and then they start to tell a story. One bad mistake, one bad decision, one bad quote can be a story for a day. Sean Payton's had plenty of those, right? There's plenty of those times where you go, I don't really like that from Sean Payton. I don't really love all the Super Bowl talk and, we're not wearing bucket hats, and we're doing things differently here. The Russell Wilson thing, if this was bad right now and the Broncos were 1-4, yeah, is that where we're at, 1-4? Then you'd start talking about, oh, man, did he handle the Russell Wilson thing so bad? I mean, was he never really in charge, or did he not really know what he was doing? And then that thing was one thing that led to another, drafting Bo Nix when a lot of people said Bo was probably going to fall into the 20s, maybe even the second round. Was that a mistake? Signing all these free agents that had a lot of rich history, injury history, was that a mistake? But you're 3-2. So then we start to scrap a lot of that. Winning covers up a lot of things. And none of these guys are perfect. None of these coaches are perfect. They're going to say the wrong thing. They're going to do the wrong thing. They're going to call the wrong play. They're going to not call a timeout, whatever. But when it goes south, we as humans tend to go back and start to look at all of those things and said, yep, that's the resume. That's what led us to where we are. Today, you start to see a lot of cracks in that foundation. Yes, Michael.
Well, I think we're doing that now that Tom Brady left the Patriots and won a Super Bowl in Tampa. Does Bill Belichick look like this great coach?
No, he looks like he's absolutely lost his mind.
Oh, especially college. I didn't think he'd be good in college.
They just suspended their cornerbacks coach, Armand Hawkins, amid allegations that the program awarded impermissible benefits to players. Like, it's not getting, there's stuff going on there that's getting worse for Bill Belichick and his time at North Carolina. Whew, was I off on that one? I thought 2 years, give Bill Belichick 2 years, he's going to be a playoff coach. He'll be in the college football playoffs. You can shake your head, but you didn't say it before. It's nice to have an opinion when it's all hell. But I also didn't expect the girlfriend thing to be this strange. Do you think that that's the culprit?
I'm going to say that that's probably, just educated guess, 50% of it.
It's a big chunk and it's awkward. Belichick, I know we're getting into a Belichick thing. Belichick always came across as like this football guy. Like, I don't want to talk about anything with you other than football. And then you see during practice in the offseason, then you see on the sidelines, there's his girlfriend. And they're talking and whispering and whatever. And it's like, that's Bill Belichick? This is the guy that's like, hey, when I'm in football mode, don't talk to me. That was like kind of that was what he gave off. And so, yeah, you're right. You start to question things. When it was all good with Belichick and Brady, it was all like, who cares? They're winning Super Bowls. And then as you start to, oh, he had a falling out with the Patriots. They kind of were tired of him. And, oh, ever since Brady was gone, he hasn't been that great. Oh, he's not going to get back in the NFL. Suddenly he's all over Instagram and he's all over Facebook. And he said all the things that he was against. Now he's utilizing it, all the time. And he's got a young girlfriend that's way younger than him. All those things start to stack up. That's where you are. Unfortunately, that's what's happening at Colorado State right now. Is just a year's worth of some negatives that have piled up and become major negatives. 45 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Coming up on Monday, I've done this now for, I think this will be my fourth year doing this. I'm going to be live and on location at Harmony Golf Club for the Colorado State Men's Basketball Golf Event. I've been doing that now for the last couple of years. I spend the day getting to know the roster, the player, or all the players, the coaches. It's a lot of fun. Get to know a lot of new faces. So I'm excited to get out there and do this yet again. I'm pumped for basketball season and to see what Ali Farokmanesh can do with Colorado State. They've got a lot of new faces, but I'm curious. I don't have expectations, really. You know, I'm not expecting them to go dancing. I'm not expecting them not to go dancing. I'm just ready to see the Ali Farokmanesh era kick off. 11:51 the time. We'll take a short break. We'll wrap up hour number one. Coming up, we got top stories of the day. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com, talks of Cowboys with us. Sean Keeler from the Denver Post a little bit later on. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Let's have a drink. Football 52, the two-man gang. Cody the weather guy and Front Range Spare Change. We do more than just radio. We have the best podcasts around. Get them all on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310kfka.com.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
All right, coming up next, we got top stories of the day. We'll break into some of the bigger national stories. Did get this to Coach Prime, was out at practice today and out there walking around. I don't know if he's feeling good, but he was out there. So much respect for him after the procedure yesterday to get back out there for this team. Well, he's saying all the right things. Like, hey, I'm not going anywhere. Don't plan to, but certainly a concern around Buffs fans this week as they prepare for a tough game coming up this week and another tough game in the Big 12. Top stories of the day, Cody Tucker. Let's talk some Wyoming Cowboys. What can they do? I thought it was they were just outplayed in every facet against UNLV, but gave up two blocked punts for touchdowns. That happens, good chance you're going to lose a football game. It's a whole show. We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.